This podcast is a Bendigedig Media production.
Hello, I'm Michael Sheen, and you are listening to a Touchline Rant podcast.
Hello, and welcome to episode 143 of a Touchline Rant podcast. My name is Luke, and I just want to say thank you. Thank you very much for tuning in, for downloading. It's hugely appreciated. If you do like what you hear, if you could please drop us a review on iTunes, that would be much appreciated. 5 stars would be really helpful. We never ask people to do it, and I always think that I should, because it's important. But I'm rectifying that now. So yeah, if you could go drop us a 5-star review, that'd be brilliant. This week, myself, Alex, Mitch and Jordan discussed the Premier League Hall of Fame. We all had, we all made 2 choices of who we thought should go in, and yeah, so it was a lot of fun. If you think that we've picked someone who doesn't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame, or if you think that we've missed people out, which, I mean, to be honest, we've missed loads out because we only had 2. So there's only 8 choices of the entire history of the Premier League. If you only get 8 people that you can put in, then you're going to miss people out, aren't you? But let us know who we missed out at A Touchline Rant, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Hit us up, let us know. And yeah, maybe we'll do an episode 2 or 3. Maybe we'll do more of these as the as the weeks and months roll by. But for now, all I have to say is thank you very much to Bendigedig Media, our producers, who help us get this podcast out to you each and every week, whether there is a global pandemic on or not. Much appreciated to them, and thank you once again to you for listening. That's enough from me. Right, I'm going to hand over to me and my fellow hosts of this show, and we hope you enjoy. Music. Right, back again, as it's episode 143, we're all in, so it's you've got a full quota this week of ATR hosts, with myself, Luke, and Alex, Mitch, and Jordan, all of us. How lucky are you for that? This week, we're going to be discussing our selections for the Premier League Hall of Fame. We're going to each pick 2 players. And the others have to vote whether or not they deserve to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. If someone else selects one of our selections, we then on the fly, off the cuff, we have to make another selection. So it could get interesting quite quickly. We're going to start alphabetically. So I'm going to hand over to co-founder of ATR, Mr. Alex Skinner, to hear your first selection.
This is really tricky, right? Because it did a list. Is it influence? Is it comedy? Is it good looks? Icons? Whatever. My first, I'm going in hot. I'm going in hard right now. Very much so.
You know that's how I like it.
Exactly. I think we all enjoy it. So I've chosen David Beckham.
Oof.
David Beckham is the closest living being to Jesus Christ. in our day and age, right? You can't hate him. He's iconic in his own right. He's done it across all continents, and he's done it by being a handsome, lovely chappy. He's gone everywhere across Europe and proved himself, as well as gone across the other side of the pond.
Yeah.
Now, these are huge teams that he's had influence in and has been deeply respected as well. So not only United, you've got Real Madrid, LA Galaxy, Milan, and PSG. This is a phenomenal career in itself. I forgot to say, David Beckham, OBE.
Yeah.
And that is my first
pick. David Beckham, or a different one.
David Robert Joseph Beckham is my first pick.
You have gone in hard and fast there, because that.
I told you I would. Yeah, I told you I would.
You did warn us, which is nice. You did brace us.
I tried to. Tried
not
to.
Really, isn't
he? He's gone straight in. I'm going to...
If this was question of sport, he's played home there.
He has played home. Mm. He definitely has. I'm going to say straight... I mean, you've played to the... You know, you're preaching to the choir with me here in that I love David Beckham. I adore him. I think he's the perfect man for me.
Yeah.
He'd be good to get on the podcast, be all right. To be fair.
Can't be up to much, can he?
He's reading. He's doing Harry Potter readings at the moment, and he's got his calendars full of that. Yeah, he's busy.
He's busy.
And his Walks for Men cap.
Yeah.
Obviously.
He also does a great range of cologne for men, underwear.
You've got the knockoff there. You've got the knockoff one for the market.
Yeah, David Beckham.
Joey Beecham.
Yeah. Tommy Hilfiger.
He has got a great range of cologne.
It is very nice, actually.
I can kick us off and say...
Underrated.
That, yes, David Beckham, for me, definitely makes the Premier League Hall of Fame. Even though, when you look at his career, he wasn't actually in the Premier League for, you know, a huge amount of time.
I've got influence and icon.
Yeah, but the influence that he had on the Premier League, on Manchester United, but also the league as a whole, definitely deserves him being in the Hall of Fame. So it's a yes from me.
Yeah, right. Yes from me.
Should I give my thoughts? We got two out of two here. Oh.
Yeah, it's a yes from me.
Nah, it's a yes from me.
Mainly for the cologne, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, also just the fact that it's his cologne and his sprays have now become almost like the new Lynx Africa, because everyone gets a David Beckham box set of shower gel.
Oh, that's a bit fair.
Might need a separate podcast.
I think he's in talks with Marmite as well to do a little crossover.
The thing is, problem is with Marmite is they've based their entire brand on you either love it or hate it, and everyone loves David Beckham, except Rebecca Lewes.
Moving on.
Wow, again, that's a whole new podcast.
You're putting me off it.
I'm going to go for that as well.
Right, Skinner, you pick who you want to...
David Beckham's a yes to me as well.
Skinner, pick who you want to go make the selection next then.
I'd like to lighten the load a little bit, because I went in again too hot, too heavy, as per usual. I would like to hear what Mitchell Lewis-Gadd has to say.
It's not going to be John Motson, that's for starters. I'm just going to clarify that, so people are prepared. I reckon I'm going to play home a little bit here as well. I reckon I'm going to steal someone else's pick. But I hope I have, actually. I don't want to make it awkward for them. But I have to go for Mr. Thierry Henry. I'll tell you for why. Because... Thierry Henry was part of the Arsenal Invincibles team, who I hated I feel like my feeling for Arsenal Invincibles is that they took Nottingham Forest record for the record for most unbeaten games, and as Cluffy said, it sort of sticks in the throat a bit. He said at the time, because no one likes Arsenal. Sorry, Skinner. but I kind of feel like the Vince Vaughn character in Anchorman, where he kind of goes, I hate you, Ron Burgundy, but I respect you. And you have to respect that Arsenal Invincibles team. And Thierry Henry started off on the wing as a player and then became one of the most prolific strikers in the Premier League. Scored 175 goals in 258 appearances, which is pretty damn good. Including one in his sort of second spell at Arsenal, which no one really remembers. But just like, and some of the goals he scored, he's one of those players that kind of glided through defences. Like, he could score a long ranger, but he sort of was one of those who just kind of glided through defences. Like that goal against Liverpool comes to mind. And just a Rolls Royce player. Thought it was an amazing player. Part of an Arsenal team that wrestled the title from Man United, and, you know, Wenger in his peak. And I just, if I think of Premier League and like good memories and proper championship battles, Arsenal, Man United are some of the best battles, and Henry was at the centre of it. So I'm going to go for Mr. Van Van Boom. And that's
I like played it safe.
Thierry Henry scored a goal, the only goal that I've ever seen Man United concede, where I had to just sort of celebrate it almost because of how good it was. That one where he gets the ball with his back to goal and he hits it on the outside of his foot, swivels and hits it on the volley over Barthez. It's one of the best goals I've ever seen.
And he did the WhatsApp celebration afterwards, which was even better than the goal.
Let's not forget his influence for France as well, lifting the World Cup.
He's also got nice cologne as well.
There's a couple. I mean, Thierry Henry as well. Though, I mean, better player than he was a manager, definitely. And the only thing which puts a stain on Henry for me is the way that the handball goal for France.
Yeah, but he didn't do it in the Premier League, though, did he? He saved that handball for international football. So in many ways, he respected the Premier League and said, "I can't do that in the Premier League."
And let's be honest, what would Ireland have done? What would Ireland have done in that tournament? Let's be honest.
Jordan Lloyd angering every Irish.
Make it sound out. They make it sound like not Brazil out or something. Sean St. Ledger was the one trying to close him down. Sean St. Ledger. Come on. Nature versus nurture. Nature always wins.
The amount. If we get any hate now from people in Ireland, I'm just sending them straight your way.
We'll have a special show where people can phone in from Ireland and just abuse Jordan
for being ignorant.
Yeah, like the roast of Jordan Lloyd.
Yeah, we'll make Jordan prep like the best fullbacks of all time all week, and then surprise him with actually.
For style and finesse, you can't say anything against.
If you guys can't. We've got mad. We've lost the plot.
Transformed the position in Premier League history as well.
Right, Henry is a definite yes for me.
Yeah, same for me. Definite yes for the same reasons. Superb player, made a position his own. He's even got his own brand style, like finish, that kind of side foot curl around the keeper.
Yeah.
He's even created that. Close to and he's, what a player.
Very
what
safe. Very player. Safe. Very safe. But yes, I can't follow that.
That's three yeses.
Yeah, got to get off the market.
So that's Beckham and Henry both in. Mitch, who do you want to give a selection? Who do you want to hear from next?
I'm going to go Jordan Lloyd next.
Here we go.
Okay, well, I've gone for a far more kind of serious tone for this and a bit more of an important message as well to go with it. So I would like to see inducted into the Hall of Fame Gary Speed. So Gary Speed played 677 Premier League games. That's the fifth of all time. Scored 104 goals despite being a midfielder. When he was at Leeds, he played in 9 out of 10 outfield positions. That is absolutely remarkable. Just before the Premier League kicked off, he won the last ever First Division, but carried that form straight through to the Premier League, was in the first ever Premier League PFA team of the season. When he signed for Everton, 96-97, finished their top scorer, playing left midfield, straight away made club captain. Whilst at Newcastle, he got to 2 FA Cup finals. He was the first ever player to get to 500 Premier League appearances. And obviously, as we know, Gary Speed is no longer with us. I think it would be a really important message out there for mental health in football as well. You know, we don't know who out there is suffering. People seem to think that footballers are immune from this and it's okay to abuse them and they don't have, you know, they don't suffer from things like that. I think inducting someone like Gary Speed, not only because he's earned it based on his career, but it would send an important message going forward for people to speak out and players to speak out about mental health. And so that's my first choice.
Solid choice. The important message, like you say, about mental health, that's big. And yeah, I think it would be an important, you know, inductee into it. And he's obviously a great player. for many clubs as well, like you mentioned. You know, he wasn't just one club all the way through, and his entire career was at the top level, pretty much, wasn't it? So, based on all of that, I'm going to say no. I'm going to say yes. Definitely get Gary Speed in the Hall of Fame, 100%.
Yeah, 100%.
Defo, great he's, player. He's Welsh absolute, as well.
I was just about to say.
Have we gone into that? We mentioned this as all?
Yeah, well, I kind of tiptoed around outside of Premier League. But like you said, yeah, he is 85 international caps, unbelievable player, and then took over a Welsh team that was, 120th were we in the world? Yeah. Something daft like that. I don't even know if there's 120 countries, but we were down there. And he turned us into turned this talented youngsters into a proper team, got us right through the rankings, left a hell of a legacy. And obviously Coleman did a brilliant job taking over in horrible circumstances afterwards. But Gary Speed laid the foundations for this Welsh side we have now that are soon to be headed to their second major tournament in the space of, two out of the last three.
Absolutely.
And, we owe a lot to Gary Speed for that.
He gave us hope.
Yeah, incredible.
As Welsh football fans, I think he gave us hope.
There we are.
Made
the blueprint.
You know what? He was. I really liked how, as a player, he played a lot further forward in his earlier years, and used to get a few more goals in his Leeds days. And then he kind of adapted his game as he got older, and he utilized his kind of experience and played a bit deeper for Newcastle. Still got the odd goal, but I just think his adaptability. But different systems, and like you said, Joel, playing so many 9 out of 10 outfield positions as well demonstrates that. But also the role he played in the side seemed to change, and he could understand his game. He understood his own game really well, and I think he's just one of those players that, like, not one of those that's going to like be not the most skillful player, but just had a really.
You want him on your side, don't you? You want Speed on your side in training, in games, and stuff like that.
In the trenches,
absolutely.
I just wish there was more support for mental health when players like Speed in that generation were growing up, because it had a tremendous impact on where we are, and it's something that went under the radar then, certainly, and even approaching the situation and all the things. I think it really started something and made people look at mental health differently with athletes as well as everyone else. So I think there's lessons to be learned from that. All right. Yes, Gary Speed. There we are.
There you are. Lukey boy, you're up now.
The pressure's on. Okay, right. I'm going to relieve the pressure by selecting the man who is, for me, Mr. Premier League, because he is Eric Cantona. I'm going to put forward Eric Cantona. He came in to Man United because they couldn't sign David Hurst. That's the reason that they signed him. And they didn't even...
Just like a David Hurst.
They tried signing David.
David Hurst, great.
He's probably listening. He's probably listening.
He's my next election.
They tried to sign David Hurst. They couldn't. And then Leeds tried to buy Dennis Irwin. They said no. And while they were on the phone, they said, what is Eric Cantona available? And he was. For £1 million, they signed a man who embodied what they were, what the league was trying to get across. Because the Premier League was obviously just beginning; it was in its infancy. The rebrand, and here's this swaggering Frenchman up front who just does whatever he wants and is so skillful on the ball. And there's so many images of him which are just iconic, like when he broke his arm and he had his cast on. And I remember he scored a volley against Sheffield Wednesday, I believe, and he runs off, but he's using it as if he's karate chopping the very atoms that the air is made out of. And he's karateing his way through. Obviously, karate then came in, you know, or martial arts at least, when he single-handedly tried to kick racism out of football by launching himself at that absolute moron.
Literally.
Who deserved a lot worse than he got. His goal against Sunderland, where he took it past most of the got the ball off McClare and then chipped the keeper And then he did that celebration where he just stood still and slowly turned in a circle. And he's the man who went.
I like the way he retired as well. Yeah. He just kind of left, didn't he?
He's always a new thinker. And that's what I respect and admire about Cantona. He's not afraid to dish stuff out.
Luke, off the cuff quiz question, which might influence my decision. As well as David Hurst, there was two others Fergie was after instead of Cantona. Can you name them?
It wouldn't have been Shearer at that time, I don't think.
No.
That was a bit later. I'm trying to think now. No, I can't think of anyone other than David Hurst.
Was McAllister one of them?
It was Matt Letizia and Brian Dean.
Brian Dean, scorer of the first Premier League goal.
Yeah.
Well,
he's a revolutionary thinker.
He is a revolutionary thinker.
He also, one of my favourite Cantona stories is when he was signed and he first went out to Old Trafford and it was, you know, empty stadium, and he walked out and he just stood there looking, and Ferguson said he was taking it all in. He went up to him and he said, "Oh, do you think you're big enough to play here?" And he turned to him and he said, "It's a question of whether this club is big enough for me." And you knew, as soon as he said that, Ferguson said, "I knew I'd signed the right player."
In films as well, crossed over to films.
Yeah, he starred in Elizabeth with Kate Blanchett.
There you go.
That's good. He did.
Iconic in developing youthful minds and use their platform correctly.
Yeah, and he got his penis out in a film.
Played beach football.
And on social media.
The film Looking for Eric is an absolute winner.
It's an amazing film.
Yeah.
Amazing. Oh, brilliant film.
Love that film.
Yeah.
So for footballers who do things a little bit differently and quote King Lear at FIFA accepting an award, Lifetime Achievement Award, I salute King Eric. Are there any good books on that?
Doesn't conform as well. Do you see what he was wearing? Where's his own thing?
Just says what he wants.
Funny you should mention about books, but actually there is a really good book. It's called King Eric, Portrait of the Artist Who Changed English Football by Mr. Wayne Barton, former guest of the show.
Wait.
Fantastic book.
Great book. Really good science page at the start by the author as well. Names a good few people.
Didn't read that page.
One was a typo.
Yeah.
All right.
Then.
Right.
Are we going for next then, Luke?
Yet?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, yeah. He's definitely going to go in. Goes without saying, your podcast.
Yeah. Definitely going to go in.
Okay. Right then. We'll switch. I'm going to switch the order up and say no. I'm not. I'm going to say Alex. Go on, Skin. What you
My final pick. What's it going to be? Is it going to be Schmeichel, Ronaldo, Bale, Torre, Berbatov? No, it's not. It's going to be Didier Drogba.
Ooh.
Berbatov.
How you liking them apples? Scoring six. Just look at him. He's won everything. He's won everything in the game. He's always been deadly. And the impact that he has had on the Premier League is second to none. For an African player to come in to the Premier League, he is iconic. His influence, the impact he's had on football across the continent, but in the Premier League, is where he was outrageously good. If you look at his stats, his goal scoring stats and ability, he was a joy to watch. In 226 games for Chelsea alone, he scored 100 goals.
Yeah.
For the Ivory Coast, he scored 65 goals in 105 appearances. This man is just a leader. He's the most iconic African footballer to play in the Premier League. And his impact on the UK went beyond football. Like, if you see what he actually did for the Ivory Coast and Africa in general, it's huge. It's absolutely huge. He is an idol of African players, and the influence was second to none. So Didier Drogba, I salute.
Drogba is a definite shot. I wouldn't put him in as first draft if we were doing the actual, you know, Premier League Hall of Fame. He wouldn't be one of my first drafters, but he is definitely iconic. He's an iconic player, and he had, you know, like Thierry Henry as well. He had his second spell, you know, back at the club. I think it's a great shout.
And I think when I think of Premier League, I think of like there are like periods in it, and there are periods where I associate with, you know, sides who kind of dominated and stuff. And there's that period with Mourinho's Chelsea where they were, you know, smashing all comers, and Drogba was at the heart of it. So, yeah, you've got to think of those kind of periods and break it down to sections. And I always think that, like, yeah, Drogba played a massively, massively big role in that period where Chelsea were just spending all the comers.
So are we all saying yes? George, what are you saying?
Great.
I can't argue with this. I've always loved Drogba. It was unbelievable for your fantasy football players out there. He scored some unbelievable goals. But yeah, I've not seen many players who are essentially, what is he? Is he a target man? Well, he can do it, but he's, you know, he's quick. He's also a bit of a poacher. He's the perfect striker, and he epitomises the Premier League. And when we look back, in even 10 years from now, and you look back at all-time Premier League footage and things like that, Drogba will feature very regularly, and he's a no-brainer for me. Absolute no-brainer.
Do you know what comes to mind when I think of Didier Drogba? Is, you know, when you're playing Mario Kart and you get that, but you're last, and then you get a box and you get the bullet and you stream forward and you knock everyone out of the way. That's Drogba, because he was quick and he was so powerful as well. You just didn't stand a chance. If he was running at you, he'd just bowl you over. He was so good.
Deadly. Again, I think he redefined the position. And I think he also laid a template to phenomenal strikers after that. And he was someone to be looked at to for again, it's redefining the position. So on the one side, you'd have Thierry Henry with just pure style and finesse. But then you've got another type of striker, which is Didier Drogba. Ruthless, especially playing Arsenal.
He was. So that's a resounding... Yeah. That's all three of us voting him in, I think.
I'm surprised that you Skinner's done two picks and neither of them were
gone. Well, I'm shocked.
Absolutely.
I was playing around with
not
the
a bad
Schmeichel
way, just
thing. And I love a bit of Berber. But yeah, I kept it. I
the shoulder on it.
Nice, I like it.
Mm. Okay, well done.
Mm. Right, Mitch, is your go.
Right. I choose Mitch. Mitch.
Are we keeping the order?
That's a good Luke impression.
I'm definitely going to try and steal something to you. That was good. That sounded a lot like that. Settle down. Order. I'm definitely going to try and steal someone's one here, because I'm going for a slam dunk with my second choice here.
I feel it coming.
And it has to be. I'm going to pick the brother of Rodri Giggs, Ryan Giggs, because he's Welsh and for no other reason.
You could have chosen Bale.
I'm actually picking. I'm picking him because he's played. Do you know how many Premier League games he played in? 900 million Premier League games across 452 Premier League seasons, and he scored in 451 Premier League. No, he scored in 21 out of 22 Premier League seasons. He has the record for the most assists. You know, he's won two consecutive PFA Young Player of the Years, won the Premier League Player of the Year in 2009, Team of the Decade, Team of the Century, blah blah blah. I mean, do you know he's won 13 Premier League winners' medals. That's more winners' medals than Titanic had Oscars. Yeah. Unbelievable. He's just one of the most decorated players. And when you said Mr. Premier League earlier, Luke, I thought, he's going to mention Giggsy. I'm screwed here, and I'm going to have to switch to Tomori Kitzbaya as my second choice. But luckily, you went with a great choice in King Eric. Praise the Lord. But Giggsy is... got to give it to Giggsy. I mean, how can you not? It's just an icon of the Premier League. And, you know, he's the one character. You know when you like watch TV series and all your favourite characters leave? They're like, he's had to leave. You know, he's got bigger now. He's jacked it in. And he stuck around, but he carried on being good. He's a bit like Paul Robinson in Neighbours. You know, all the characters are leaving. And then Paul Robinson stuck around, even though he had a gammy leg.
I'm enjoying this analogy.
Giggs, he stuck around, and he had a gammy leg by the end as well, but then he retired. So, but yeah, he's just an icon. And respect to him, because he did all that yoga and made himself really good.
He did as well. He's
on OBE as well.
Yes.
Yeah, we've already covered the OBE stuff for Beckham, so I didn't want to mention it.
Don't shoot yourself short. Mention it.
The OBE card had already been played, Jordan. I didn't want to play it.
There's multiple in the pack.
But yeah, if you're taking notes, then yeah, OBE as well.
He's such a great professional as well, and how he changed his game later on to become more of a central midfielder in sort of like a PLO-esque role.
Very moral person as well. Really, really good person. Yeah,
really good person.
Really good person. That's what this is based on. Yeah,
really looks after his family.
Loyal, very loyal.
He's also got a cologne called Rodri's sister. Oh no, Rodri's wife. I messed that up.
He's also got a gag in order.
The only inductee with a gag in order.
Yeah, why not? Why are you gigs? You can come in. Sure.
Oh. Big fan of Big Brother as well.
Yeah, no one's perfect.
Loved watching Big Brother.
He loved it. He recorded it every night.
Managed Wales. Sort of, yeah.
Still managed Wales.
Genuinely, it completely slipped my mind that Ryan Giggs was managing Wales.
Yeah,
he doesn't get anywhere near enough credit for what he's done with Wales. Actually,
he's done a great job.
It's easy to just have a pop at him and stuff like that. And like the Wales fans took a while to warm to him, but he's qualified for another major tournament. And that was a tricky group, I think. There were some solid teams there. I think we've done well.
Yeah, no, we did. He did. Giggs has got to go in.
Yeah.
Would Giggs Bale go in, though?
He went in.
Would you put Gareth Bale?
Who?
No.
I would totally put him in.
No, he wasn't in.
No, I would.
Long enough for me.
I put him in the PGA Hall of Fame.
I put him in the what?
I just think Gareth Bale was. Yeah, he was in the Premier
League. He was fire.
Yeah, he was.
Absolute fire.
He did. He burnt very brightly, but for a very short period of time.
Yeah, and then he got bought by Real Madrid. We won everything.
Who aren't in the Premier League.
Yeah, I'm aware of that.
I think Gareth Bale.
He's gone mad. He's really angry.
I wouldn't put him in.
On the same perspective, then you wouldn't put Ronaldo in.
Premier League. Well, he won the Ballon. Yeah. He won the Ballon d'Or while he was playing in the Premier League, and scored like 40 odd goals in one season.
Ballon d'Or's perfect.
You'll never know if I'll put them in because they're not your selection. So I'm not going to pass comment on them. So you'll never know. You should have said. If you wanted to know my opinion, you would have selected
them. There's definitely an argument because Bale had amazing things. But I don't know. I just would like to have seen him do a bit more for a bit longer.
Open the...
Luke, you don't have to answer the question. You don't understand yet. Yeah? As your lawyer, I can remind you.
No, thank you very much, Real Madrid. Yeah. I don't want to play for you. I'm going to do it here a bit longer, just to appease Luke.
Yeah, do it a bit longer.
I'm in really the shitload doing IT to Tottenham.
Oh.
There we are. Let's open this up.
Jordan, come on.
Right, I had a different one written down, but I feel it's too safe, so I'm going to change my mind. And what I am going for is both a player and an incident all in one.
Okay.
And I'm going to try and introduce the famous Ali Deer incident of 1996, where this is brilliant. These are people just like having a prank that just worked. Some people rang up Graham Souness, who was a Premier League manager, and went, I've got somebody here who is cousin of George Weah. You should sign him. Ha, 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 what a funny prank. He said yes. Dear then, rather than just think, oh, we'll cut our losses, we fooled him, went down there. Oh, go along, you know. Go to a training session, they'll work me out. He did a training session. He was put in the squad for the Leeds game. Bear in mind, back then, you were only allowed two subs. All right, so he sat on the bench. Joke gets even funnier. Oh, I'll be given a kit. Oh, I'm a Premier League footballer. 32 minutes in, Matt Letitia goes down. Letitia, Southampton legend, goes down. 32 minutes in, they bring him on. All of a sudden, it starts with a funny prank phone call because someone's got his number. You're playing Premier League games. He come on and he very nearly scored. There's an incident where the ball came in and he was Gazarek close to putting the ball in the back of the net. However, he later got subbed off.
I've never seen him miscontrol it in the middle of the park. I never saw him get close.
I'm with Skinner. I've only ever seen him miscontrolling it.
He nearly scored, I promise you. He nearly scored. It always gets left out of the story. There was a bit when he had a really good chance to score. But anyway, he later got taken off in the game, so he got double subbed in the 85th minute for Ken Moncao, who was a centre-back. Matt Letitia described him as running around like Bambi on ice, which was embarrassing to watch. Apparently, when they went back to training the next day, Dyer had just left the country, taken the boots that were not his, not paid the hotel bill, and no one ever saw of him ever again. He was released 14 days into his contract. He then moved straight to Gateshead, where he played 8 games, and that was it for professional football. He then went to Northumbria University, got a business degree, and he's got a son called Simon. So,
and if you were a big fan of him, listen back to episode 17 of A Touchline Rant, because he was on the show.
Yeah,
so
seek it out. Yes, do go back. It'll all make a lot more sense if you go back.
Can we get Simon on?
I'm with Skinner again.
I think he plays Simon for Police Terror.
The problem that I have now with this selection is that I just said that I wouldn't induct Gareth Bale, so I can't.
This doesn't have to be about good. this is different.
See what you've done, Luke, because you backed yourself into a corner here, Luke, and I told you and I advised you tomorrow you didn't have to answer the Gareth Bale question. It wasn't one of Skinner's picks. And what you've done now is you've entrapped yourself. I did warn you, and now you've got yourself into a corner.
A man that I love and respect in Alex Skinner suggested asked me a good question about Gareth Bale. I gave an honest answer, and then afterwards induct Ali Dyer
Can we make Ali Dyer the mascot? Can we just do that again to fill the bottles up or something?
Yeah.
Yes. He was Nate.
I'm going to just come out and say it. He's going in for me. It's a yes for me, but I don't have the same problem as Luke. But I'm going straight in. He's convinced me. He's going in, whereas I don't have the same issues.
If this makes things easier, Luke, think of the person who he fooled, Graham Souness, who absolutely loves sticking the boot in on young pros and hurting people's feelings, blah, blah, blah. Ali Dyer burned him. He picked him. What does Souness know about anything? He saw Ali Dyer train and picked him.
Right.
Get him in there.
Plant the flag.
Even if you boys don't say it.
Plant the flag. He's in.
All right, he's in. We're doing the majority anyway, so because Skinner said he's in, it's fine.
No, I didn't say he's in. I said...
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't. Oh. I want him to be the mascot. Like, I want to put him in a little suit and dress him up as a mascot, or he can fill the water bottle. He's not going anywhere near.
If you put him in.
He's not going anywhere near the team.
Mascot. He could take over from Changi.
It's not a team. We're not building an 11. This is a Hall of Fame. This is an incident I'm putting in. I've just for anybody listening, I'm not trying to get him up front.
Think about embarrassment. You can put
the players in the Flames then, if it's the Hall of Fame. Have we got a soundtrack to this either, by the way? We've got a song.
We can work one out.
Hall of Fame song.
We have got a Hall of Fame song.
All right. We're going to do something. You can hang the Hall of Fame map.
He's done something. He's a man who's not a footballer. He's played a Premier League game.
Okay.
It's one more than you, mate.
Okay.
I know we're better playing than him.
Probably are. All right, he's in. There we are. Adam, to you.
He's in. That's there you go.
Gareth Bale's not there.
Okay.
I can't believe a man with one Premier League appearance has just made it
into the Hall of Fame. That is something else.
What's your decision, Luke? Are you going to go against your beliefs or join the crew?
Interesting.
I'm only hesitating out of respect for Alex Skinner because I said that Gareth Bale wouldn't go in.
No, don't try and win him back. Come on. What about the respect for Ali Deer? It's not Alex Skinner. Yeah, okay. Ali Deer.
Out of my lack of respect for Graeme Souness, I'd say yes, he's in. He's in.
He's in. That was close. I was worried.
Thanks. Thanks, everybody.
Okay. Right. My second one is a man who played 443 appearances for the club that he loves, scoring 161 goals, is Matt Le Tissier. He was iconic when I was watching the Premier League, and he was that player that you always thought, oh, he's bound to move. He's bound to make a move. He won't stay at Southampton. Loads of clubs were linked with him, and he just never had any interest. He just wanted to wanted to just play for Southampton. It wasn't a case of, oh, you know, right, I'll better my career or you know, go elsewhere, get a pay rise. He wasn't interested. He just wanted to play for Southampton. That's all he wanted.
Do you think he regrets it now, then?
If he's got any sense, because at times he was linked with, you know, like United were linked with him loads. He could have won many Premier League titles. Liverpool were linked with him, so he would have won nothing there, but fair enough. He had a load of clubs who were interested in him. He just had no interest in it. Almost like the person who I nearly went with, which is Paul Scholes, in that it wasn't a case of Matt Le Tissier wasn't. It almost felt like he wasn't interested in being a footballer. He was just interested in playing for Southampton, you know. And he's definitely the best person on Soccer Saturday. Let's have that right. He's definitely above the others.
What about his character? Is he a nice person?
What I like about Le Tissier is he does, you know, the love that he still has for Southampton. Like, he cares deeply for it. And can you remember a few years ago when Southampton banned photographers or journalists? But they banned, so you couldn't get photos inside St. Mary's for match reports and stuff. And he was dead against it. He's very vocal for the club and for the supporters' trust, and he does a lot of work for the charities that Southampton are interested in. I think he just seems to be quite a nice bloke, and he actually looks like he's a painter and decorator. You know, he never looked like a footballer, like the bastard son of Peter Beardsley.
There he is. That is epitaph, is it?
Yeah. That's going to be the bastard son of Peter Beardsley.
Son of bearded Beardsley.
I think Matt Le Tissier is one of those iconic Premier League players, and yet it's generational. And eventually it's going to get to the point where there are, you know, the next generation won't have a clue because they'll just think he's just a Soccer Saturday bloke. But he was phenomenal. So that's my pick, Matt Le Tissier.
This is the trickiest one for me to think about. He obviously deserves it based on his career. I just read that in this year, Eurosport did a poll and he was voted the best Premier League player of all time, which...
What?
You know...
Not ever mind.
Yeah. Honestly, that's what I thought.
Sometimes polls are corrupt.
Yeah, that's that's ridiculous.
It's a no from me.
It's a no.
You're just saying no because he's Bale.
What? I'm here with a bunch of yes men now, am I?
Le Tissier's definitely yes.
You can't put pressure on us to say yes to Le Tissier because you don't want to say no.
Can I also just say?
I just wish he did more. There's no loyalty gets you nowhere. Loyalty gets you nowhere.
He played for Southampton.
Loyalty gets you nowhere.
He couldn't do much more.
It doesn't get you anywhere. As much as I admire his skill and finesse playing for Southampton, It was Southampton. He could have done so much more. He could have done so much more, and he didn't. And that's what annoys me about Letizia. No matter how good he was, no matter how iconic he is, he just didn't up his game when he should have.
George, before you give your answer, I just want to say, on the 7th of February 2007, he had a plane named after him, one of the Flybe on his home island of Guernsey.
Love that.
And he's also got a great cologne as well.
Letispit. Yeah.
It's called Letizia.
Letis Sportif.
We were both thinking things along the same lines there, Luke.
Letis Sportif is better.
Thanks. Oh, yeah. I also, do you know what I like about Letizia as well? Remember that England B game where he was the only player on the pitch? He scored a hat trick and set the other one up. Yeah, and Glenn Hoddle didn't pick him. The highlights are ridiculous. Yeah, he absolutely runs the show.
Right. So is Letizia in the Hall of Fame?
He is for me as well.
He's in.
Well,
Gareth Bale said no, but it's a majority rules.
Skinner, would it help you to know that he's got three brothers called Mark, Kevin, and Carl?
You almost swayed me with it.
And he's got a son called Mitch as well.
Yes, he has. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad I picked him now.
And he scored in his last ever game at the Dell. 3-2 win over Arsenal, which is probably why Skinner doesn't want him in, to be fair.
I've told you, specifically why I don't want him in.
He's also the honorary president of Guernsey FC. So,
did he only miss one penalty? Is that folklore?
No, he did. Mark Crossley saved it.
No,
Crossley.
Mark Crossley.
And come on, ignore.
He also he used to be married to Marilyn. That's from Home and Away.
Right.
Yeah.
For time purposes, I'm very aware of the clock. I think
let's wrap it up then, shall
this,
we?
Well, this could be something that we touch on again in the future. You know, there's unless we've exhausted anyone of any merit, but
I'm getting a sense there needs to be a separate episode on Cologne.
We should do a football Cologne.
Eau de Toilette.
Okay, so that is so that in rounding up, who have we put in? We put David Beckham in. We put Thierry Henry in, Gary Speed, Eric Cantona.
Drogba.
You were?
Didier Drogba.
That was it. Didier Drogba. Ali Dyer.
Come on. I did to you three what Ali Dyer did to Souness.
I know, I was going to say that. He's his second greatest achievement now is getting in all the
way. Unbelievable. He did
I wish I'd have. Wait till we do this next time. It's going to be all Wolves players are going to get in there.
I'm I was already ready for me to say no to Steve Ball. I was literally prepared to be like, not going in.
Dennis Irwin.
Call Ball on Ball.
Right. Thank you very much for that, gentlemen. I enjoyed that. And I think we've put in some. I think we're putting some absolute legends there, and Ali Dyer.
And Matthew Letizia.
Honorary President of Guernsey FC. We'll say no more. Legend.
Hi, this is the Blender Coach, and you're listening to a Touchline Rant's latest podcast, Back of the Net.
The podcast you just heard. Was me using Anchor. If you want a podcast,